Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, for He is good. For He is good. I will rejoice.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. Well, today's teaching is really, in a sense, going to be somewhat controversial. However, I think as we listen through this and you listen to me and look at what the Bible really has to say about it, you'll understand a little more fully and just be a little more correct about how we look at this thing. You remember in Acts chapter 18, Apollos was teaching about Jesus Christ, but Aquila and Priscilla brought him aside and taught him the Word of God a little more fully because he didn't understand all about the power of the Holy Spirit or whatever there. But the truth is that we can learn to be a little more precise with what we do. Now, what am I getting at? Today's teaching is called The Power of Praise. I said it like that because it has a question mark. The Power of Praise? And people, oh boy, you're getting their hackles up now. There is power of praise. There's power in praise and all of that. Well, I'm not attacking the power of praise per se, but I'm saying let's understand it a little more biblically. Now, in 2 Chronicles 20:22, it's used a lot when people talk about the power of praise. It says, "When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed." We say, oh, see the power of praise, warfare, praise warfare. And we have all these conferences and people doing all kinds of dancing and singing and flag waving and praising and thinking they're going to beat back the devil with their praise. And I'm sure the devil doesn't like us praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But just like our teaching, I don't agree with the prayer of agreement, we need to look at this a little more carefully. See, many people talk or teach on the power of praise. And it seems so empowering to put something in your hand and you're praising God after all, right? It's good. And it is good. But friends, we praise not to get something, but because He is something. You see, people often use this passage from 2 Chronicles to prove their point. And there may be a power of praise, but is this really what this passage is teaching us? That they praise and that's why God, you know, let them rout the enemy, that all they had to do was not fight the battle, but actually sing, and then, you know, God got rid of them? Now, let's look at the context, and we're going to give a short synopsis of what's going on, and I want you to be a good Berean. And a Berean is someone that is like whom Paul talked about, and who the book of Acts talked about. Luke wrote about it in Acts 17:11. It says, "The Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica because they checked the things that Paul said, whether they be so." So check what I say. Prove all things. Test all things. Hold fast that which is good. And that's what we're trying to do today is be good Bereans. We're trying to get in our Bible. But on a 15-minute program, I can't really read all the verses. But you know where we are already. We're in 2 Chronicles 20. So what was going on here? Well, we see in verses 1 and 2 that the land was under invasion from several enemies. We saw who they were, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. They were surrounded. So they were surrounded. And we see in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 3 through 13, that Jehoshaphat and the people seek God by fasting and prayer. Now, I will read verse 3 and following here a little bit. It says, "Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, and the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it, and have built for you a sanctuary for your name, saying, If disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, that you will hear and save. And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade, when they came from the land of Egypt, and of whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Boy, I like that. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So Jehoshaphat and the people seek God by fasting and prayer. They're in trouble. They seek God by fasting and prayer. And then what happens in verse 14 through 17? They receive the promise of victory by prophecy. Let's look again. Verse 14 says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. And so they were in trouble. They decided to seek God, called a solemn assembly, had a fast, and then prophecy was given, a promise of victory that they wouldn't have to do the fighting. And so what happened? In verses 18 and 19 it says, then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Amen. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. So the people fell down and worshiped, and the priests rose up and praised God. And then we'll see in verses 20 through 25, the king rallies everyone. And what does he do? He appoints singers to go before the army. And as they praise God, the enemies are overthrown and the spoil is abundant. And that's what we get. We saw at the beginning here, again, verse 22, when they began to sing. Didn't say because they did. You see, they already had the victory promise, but when they began to sing and praise the Lord, that's at the same time. That's when the Lord set the ambush against the men that had come against Judah, and they were routed. So again, they were in trouble. They sought the Lord by fasting and prayer. They had a prophecy of victory. They fell down on their faces in worship. The priest rose up and praised God, and then the king rallied everybody. He appoints singers to go before the army, and as they praise God, the enemies are overthrown, and the spoil is abundant. And in verse 26 through 30 in 2 Chronicles 20, they give thanks for the deliverance and for the blessings. They return to Jerusalem with music, and there is peace. Sounds great, doesn't it? And there's no doubt that praise is a main element in this story. However, many look at verse 22 and think there's some secret power of praise. Yet this victory was not about some power of praise. It was about the power of God, predicated upon the repentance we see beginning in 2 Chronicles 19:4. Let me read that. It says, Jehoshaphat lived at Jerusalem, and he went out among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim, and brought them back to the Lord, the God of their fathers. Then he appointed judges and started doing things right again. They had started to slip, and he got them back right. And so then God proved their worship. He showed them that they had gotten this far, that they really had turned back by putting them in a difficult situation. And they said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And God promised them victory. So it's not about the power of praise. It's about the power of God predicated upon the repentance. He turned them back to God. We see beginning in 2 Chronicles 19:4. You see, you can praise all day, but if you're not repentant, it's really not getting you anywhere with God. You're saying, I love God, I love God, I love God, but I still have this thing behind my back. Now what kind of praise is that, friends? We do the best we can with it, but it's not some secret power to get that thing from behind our back. Again, it was not because they began to sing and praise, but at the same time that they began to sing and praise. They turned to the Lord in repentance, and they said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And then they received word from God that he was going to deliver them, and they praised God as God did his deliverance. It wasn't that they had never thought of praise, and then, oh, wait a minute, let's praise. And then God gave them some revelation about praise warfare, and, you know, now we can all enjoy the blessing of that. This passage is not revealing some secret power of praise, friends. It's not as if we praise, and that's the answer to all our problems. We praise because we love God and for what he has done, not to get him to do something. No, this wasn't a revelation of praise warfare, as if we can just sing our way out of sin without any regard to a reference to repentance from sin. This wasn't some magic formula given that we now apply universally to all our situations. Indeed, praise is a weapon of sorts. It's, you know, definitely part of the process, but it must be the outflow of an understanding of grace and a natural consequence of having turned to the Lord in repentance. That's why we can praise, because we know when we turn to him, he will listen. And praising is turning to him in a sense, but what good is praise if there's no penitence, if there's no repentance? Have you thought about that? Otherwise, praise is not the answer to all your problems. You can't simply sing your way out of sin. You see, they had turned to the Lord in repentance, and then they received the message. And the message was about the fact that God was going to deliver them. Not about how praise was going to deliver them. The message God may give to you may be, you know, of a different sort, but then we praise as an outcome of that. We must also turn to the Lord in repentance first. And then we receive the message of victory that the Bible declares. And then we can praise as God does his work. The thing to notice in this passage is not that praise won them the victory, but that they turned to God and praised because he was going to give them the victory. He was going to deliver them. They didn't praise to get something. They praised because they had already been promised it and were in the midst of getting it. This doesn't mean we look for some obscure promise in the Bible, and then if we want it, we can activate it by praising God for it. No, this is simply a moment in the grand scheme, a slice of redemptive history that we see in Israel. The lesson for us is that we should turn to God when we are surrounded by enemies, which, spiritually speaking, is, of course, always the world. The flesh and the devil are always on the offensive against us. And sometimes we can't know what to do, but our eyes are turned to you, we say to God. And we praise him. Then when God gives us a victory, we should praise his name. The power of praise, friends, is about recognizing the power of God. And people think that they're doing that, but they sort of turn it on its head, thinking that this activates God instead of us being active and watching God being active. We should always be giving thanks to and praising God, no question about it. But as we said at the beginning of this broadcast, we praise not to get something, but because he is something. You see, that's what Jehoshaphat did. He turned the people in repentance and set up systems of government and judges and courts and all that, and turned the people back to God. Then they were surrounded by the enemy. Then he sought God by fasting and prayer, and they said, Lord, we're calling on your character. These are the people you told us not to harm, and now they're trying to harm us. And what are you going to do about it? And God gave them a revelation, and then they praised God for it. They praised God because he had given them something, and he was going to give them something. Again, they didn't praise to get something. They praised because he was something. See, friends, that is the power of praise. And that's what we need to understand. And that's all the time we have on this edition of the Voice of Vision broadcast. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield. We hope to see you next time. God bless you.
Next time.
on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternal.